Hello, welcome to the Off the Rocks podcast. My name is Jen, and today I'm chatting with my chum, my new chum, Sarah. Hello.
Hello.
So, Sarah, we are incredibly new friends in the big scheme of things. I was wondering if you could tell anyone that might listen, and also me, because I don't know who the hell you are, really, a little bit about yourself, however much or little that you feel comfortable with. Go!
Oh God, pressure. Okay, so I'm a woman. I'm in my mid-30s. For a job, I'm a video editor. It's not very exciting. It's not sort of feature films or anything. I just mainly do corporate stuff, but it's quite fun. I'm also training to be a psychotherapist, which is a lot more interesting. I'm about halfway through that. So I'll start seeing clients this year, which should be, it should be great. What else? I'm gay, but very single, which means obviously I have a cat who I'm not going to talk about too much because I do that. What else?
What are your hobbies, likes, dislikes?
I like writing. That's something mm-hmm. that I kind of do as a hobby and also as a kind of therapeutic thing. It's really good just to keep me feeling sane. I'm a failed stand-up comedian, I think I would probably say. I did it once. I used to live in New Zealand. I guess that's another vaguely kind of interesting thing about me. I lived there for about 5 years. So I sort of still say things with a weird accent at times, people tell me, but most of the time it's a kind of accent which isn't actually where I'm from. I don't really have a Midlands accent, I don't think. I think I just spent a lot of time trying to sound posh. I grew up here, but I moved around a lot when I was, kind of from 18. I went to uni for a bit in Birmingham, and then I dropped out of that. And then I went to uni in Brighton, and I lived in London. And then I went to Australia and New Zealand and stuff. And also I had quite a lot of posh friends, so I just tried to kind of copy them. So I think that's about it, really. Yeah.
That's loads. That's loads more than I already knew as well. Nice to learn some new facts. So I won't go into my introduction because people are probably finding this through my website and they'll know a load about me anyway, so I won't go over that again. But let's talk about how we actually met then and when it was, because it's literally our friendship has taken a kind of fast track, I would say. But it's only
hours old, basically.
We literally met yesterday. For the first time ever.
No, it was the day before, wasn't
was it?
Yeah.
The day, okay, 48 hours ago was the first time we actually met in person. And it's actually only been, I'm not very good at stuff like this because we met through Instagram to start with, as a lot of friendships start these days. And it's hard to remember definitely, isn't it? Because obviously you just start, you notice somebody and you start commenting and liking photos. And yeah. It definitely started that way, that we started just commenting and I noticed you and started remembering you because you are really funny and really articulate, and we became friendly, didn't we, more and more from that. And then said, hey, let's meet up, we're in the same area at Christmas, so we did, and it went from there. So how does that feel from your point of view though? Do you think that's an accurate representation?
It's complete lies.
Yeah.
No, that sounds about right, I think. I think I'm not really very good at social media. So I was never, you know, I don't have Facebook and I never really used Instagram that much. It was mostly just for cat pictures. But I think it was when I stopped drinking, I sort of was like, I felt a bit strange and I felt like I needed to kind of reach out and kind of connect with some other sober people and there is a big kind of sober community on Instagram, so I guess I was just kind of exploring that really, and you just sort of cropped up. And I think initially because I just struggle, like a lot of stuff just doesn't really speak to me, and I really just loved your writing, and you're also quite funny, Jen.
Thank you very much,
that was it really. And it was just kind of that commenting and back and forth, and then
We struck up a kinship, and I think it was after a little while I think I sent you, I slid into your DMs, didn't I?
You did very smoothly. Yeah. No, actually, that was the thing that I just thought was great. Like, the thing that I just have really liked about you from the start is you're just very straightforward and you just kind of said, like, it was quite obvious that we got on and we had, a lot of stuff in common. And you just said, I reckon we could be friends. And here we are doing a podcast. A matter of
That
weeks
really jumped
later.
up a notch, didn't it?
It
Yeah.
did.
So I think it's actually really interesting though, because most we were saying this when we hung out for the day the other day, that you obviously knew from my website, I guess, that I have done podcasts before and used to be a radio presenter. So I think that came up in conversation and I sort of set up in keeping my eye out for somebody that I could co-host with that would be up for it and that would, I think, be a really good match for me personality wise to kind of double up with. And you mentioned I've kind of always fancied doing that, and obviously you've got a background and a career in media and tech and all that. So when I kind of floated it, you were like, yeah, I'd be really interested. And it just happened so quick, didn't it? Because obviously there's
It
no,
did.
we've both got the equipment and the time today to do it. So we just
Yeah,
cracked on, didn't we? Which is great because people can get to know you and we can get to know each other as people get to know this sort of new version of my podcast. Because the last one I did, I couldn't believe it was like 2 years ago, and I always meant to kind of pick it up again, but then time got away and I've just published a book and life happens, doesn't it? And you just you don't always keep everything going continuously.
I feel quite honoured. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think it will go okay. You seem
I
quite
think so.
sane so far,
Well,
but
we'll see.
time will tell.
It is very early days.
Yeah,
But
so
yeah, it's a very novel way of kind of like getting to know someone. So I'm all about that. So I think it'll be fun.
yeah, and I think we've both agreed from very early on that we just very much appreciate cutting the small talk, getting straight down to it, saying how you feel, and being allowed to be exactly how you are.
Yeah.
And we're both very, we've got a lot of similarities. I think we'd both say that we're quite introverted in certain ways, and then in other ways, we're quite confident, and people probably would be surprised. Some people would be surprised to know that we would consider ourselves introvert. But yeah, that's the way that a lot of people are, and there's nothing wrong with that. So yeah, so sober stuff. You are like a few, 2, 3, 4 months or so, aren't you?
Yeah.
Officially sober.
I've kind of stopped counting, but I think it's nearly 4 months. That sounds about right.
And so, because we have discussed this side of things, because obviously I've got a longer non-linear, and I'll go into more detail in some of the podcast about that, but I've got, a fair amount of sober experience under my belt now. And I remember when I was like, 3, 4 months sober for me at that point, and obviously it's different for everybody because of the situations that you're in and your own history and how you arrived at that point. But I remember my first sober big occasions and Christmas time and seeing family and all of that, I found it such hard work. So this has just been your first sober Christmas, hasn't it?
Yes, definitely.
How did you find it then?
A real kind of mixed bag, I think, is probably the most accurate way to. I think with the sober first, it's like a weird one because it's really hard, but at the same time, once you get through it, it's so satisfying and it's really nice to kind of tick them off. I remember, when I did my first trip to the pub and my first holiday and those kind of things. It felt so weird and so strange, and I felt like I was flailing to begin with. And then really soon, you're just like, actually, you know what? I'm fine. And that's like a really nice feeling. So, yeah, it's been sobriety-wise, it's not been too bad. I mean, I deliberately tried to keep it low key, partly for that reason, partly because I just last Christmas I just took on too much in terms of seeing family and friends, and I went to Budapest and I was kind of all over the country, and it took me,
Standard Christmas then.
yeah, totally just hanging out in Hungary. Yeah, it took me a really long time to recover, so I was like, I'm not going to do that again. I'm just going to, self-care first. So I think, going into drinking or not drinking, going into Christmas like that was kind of a good way to get through it. But yeah, it was okay. I'd spent Christmas Day with one of my really old friends who is a massive introvert like me, really quiet and lovely, and we just played Scrabble and we watched a movie and went for a walk, and it was really, really nice. And she was drinking, and I kind of had a few moments where I'm like, oh, I can smell the wine. But you know, I just kind of gritted my teeth and it passed, and that's what I find, that it does pass, and that actually it doesn't kind of hijack your night or your day or whatever.
And it certainly doesn't have to, because I remember thinking that literally any wobble would be, in fact, for a long time, years ago now with me, any time I did feel wobbled, that would be all it would take for me to end up with a drink in my hand. And it took me personally quite a long time before I realised, oh, that can happen. And it's not, you don't actually have to act on it. that realisation for me took some time.
I'm obviously a lot more advanced.
Well, I was just listening to you when you were literally saying drinking or not drinking, Christmas is hard, and I didn't want to sort of overdo it. I thought, what sort of witchcraft is this? Those people, they just keep doing the same thing, don't they, knowing they'll be absolutely exhausted and annoyed and all this, and you obviously are so strange and actually learn from your experiences.
But also, after spending so many years doing the wrong things for me and trying, when I was in New Zealand, I spent one Christmas just completely by myself, not as a self-care thing, just as some sort of, like,
no one liked you.
I just had no invites. Did actually, I had two, but I didn't really want to go to any of them. I don't know, it was just this, and I was just like, oh, this is going to be the best thing for me, like I'm going to spend it by myself, I'm going to go for a swim, and you know, it'll be lovely. And it was horrible, like it was rubbish. And I've kind of realized that somewhere in the middle between, like, just doing some weird protest vote where I spend it by myself and then throwing myself into every single, you know, invitation and event, somewhere in the middle is going to be what's kind of right for me.
There is a middle ground in life, everybody.
Grey areas.
My Christmas has been really, really full on, and my husband and I basically did essentially what's turned out to be a tour of the UK, seeing every single family member and friend that we have, which, looking back on it now, was not the most relaxing way of spending the only time we both had off work together.
No.
It was lovely. Like, I love my friends, love my family, love my husband's family, my in-laws. And but it was literally every day or every second day we would be moving somewhere else, driving 2-3 hours and staying in a different room. And it was great, and we did see everybody, but there was basically no time where we actually relaxed and sort of didn't enjoy it. But you know, that feel, I'm definitely the sort of person that I do need time on my own. I definitely need to recharge and just be alone and not speak for a day or two sometimes. I'm really comfortable with my own company, and I don't like speaking on the phone. I don't like the classic kind of introvert stuff. I've since realized, you know, the last few years I've realized, oh yeah, I'm exactly like that, I don't like doing this or that, and I have to really respect that about myself, and there's nothing wrong with it. And you just have to think, well, okay, you can push yourself sometimes, like I sort of did this Christmas in a way, but I've come back feeling not resentful but kind of but most definitely resentful as fuck. No, that's not even accurate, but
yeah, no,
I've literally had no time to do what I really want to do. And I do what I did, what that was the weird thing, I did want to go and see everybody, but you know that I definitely need days where there's nothing to do, and so you can do something or you can do nothing, and that counts as a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. Whereas
a lot of people say, oh, you're not doing anything, let's meet up, and I think no.
No,
definitely not.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
I think it's I do think about, like, even visually think about myself and my life sometimes, like in terms of battery percentages, like, because as well, wanting to do something is all well and good, but like if you're already depleted before you go, then as much as you want to do it and as much as you want to see those people, you just feel so depleted and just lackluster, and you just can't really enjoy it as much. So I try and have like days in between absolutely everything, which makes it hard when, you know, I'm trying to work and I'm like, no, I need to work a day and then have a day off and then work a day. But you know, it works. It works for
That's
me.
what that is what I generally do without realizing it. Now you've come to say that I generally do that because we both work for ourselves. I'm guessing you do. Is that right? Did you say yeah? I think it cut out then.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah,
Yeah.
it did.
So and that really helps me because obviously, and I again, I'm guessing you've had jobs where it's like your standard 9 to 5 for employers.
I can't believe you don't know about all my previous work history from our 6 weeks of friendship.
It's like I literally don't know who you are.
Well, do you remember that when we met the other day, about 2 hours in, you said, "So is it Sarah or Sarah?"
Like, it's Sarah Jane. Yeah, I literally didn't know your name. Yeah, so I was just saying, I have had those sorts of jobs before where they're kind of standard traditional type jobs, the ones that your parents completely understand and anything else they don't, and they think, how are you making money? Those sorts of jobs. So I've had loads of those. In fact, that's made up most of my working life until the last few years when I've been working self-employed and freelance and all the things that most of my friends do, actually. And it's worked fine in terms of, yeah, I have managed to pay bills and make money, but it's worked so much better in terms of my personality. I'm very, in some cases, I'm really all or nothing. And that can be a bad thing when it comes to things like that you become compulsively addicted to, like in the past, alcohol for me, and the way that I've been in the past with relationships and being
Same.
very, very like you when you're in love with somebody or in lust with somebody or you're with somebody new, everything is about them and you can kind of forget everything else, and that's obviously not healthy. It turns out
No, not really.
people
Not
don't like
attracted.
that. Yeah, for me, I definitely work better when I can be in more control of it because I don't think most people really work to a Monday to Friday 9 to 5 schedule with their bodies and with their creativity patterns.
And I think there's something kind of for me inherently wrong with living for the weekend as well. Like, you know, I hate that idea of like, oh God, I've got to get through Tuesday and then Wednesday. And then I just can't, I can't do it. And, you know, I don't judge anyone that prefers that and that's how they work best. You
No,
know,
of
that's
course not.
completely fine. But for me, I just can't, I need to make sure that I'm kind of okay, like 7 days a week rather than just two.
And also, I hate going pretty much anywhere at the weekends where I know it's going to be absolutely so busy. I love to do food shopping at the crack of dawn after I've been to the gym. I love going to the gym before anybody else gets there. I do things kind of in a way that makes it less likely that I'll have to queue, be around loads of crowds, loads of noise, loads of busyness,
I thought
all
you
of
said
that.
clouds then.
Clouds are another problem in my life. I don't like to be around
They're
clouds
everywhere.
or crowds. But yeah, I just hate doing that. And you don't really have a choice when you've got that sort of job. You can only go at lunchtimes and after work and at weekends, and it's horrible. So even that, I love doing that. I love being able to work late, like now, like it's New Year's Day and we're recording a podcast. And for me, partly this is work. For you, it's a laugh.
I just sit here and chat and then just leave it all to you.
I can often just, and you're the same, aren't you? Because you've been working all day as well on your
Wow.
videos.
That's, would we say all day? I'd say
I say you've been working all day.
I
You've been
sat
petting your
down
cat.
about 10 and I went for a walk and yeah, but I went for a walk and I suddenly was like, oh shit, it's New Year's Day. There were so many people around and I just kind of came straight home. But I did see lots of dogs, which was nice. There was a little husky puppy who was kind of bounding around, which was great. But yeah, I'm exactly the same. It just doesn't work for me. And knowing that has been such a life changer. I mean, it kind of happened. I'd kind of realized before I became self-employed and started making videos and stuff, but And then I felt so trapped being in my job and just knowing that the reason that I was struggling so much, apart from the fact that I didn't really like the job, was it was more, but it wasn't really that. It was more just the getting up at the same time every day. And, you know, I'm really sensitive. My moods fluctuate a bit. Sometimes I get up and I'm raring to go. Sometimes I'm not, and I just want to go for a walk and I just want to be by myself. And then I want to work, you know, at 10 o'clock at night instead. And not really that flexibility when you're working for the NHS.
No.
There, like during the day. So yeah.
So I'm guessing that was your old job working for the NHS.
It was, yeah. Yeah, about well, when I got back from New Zealand, it took me ages to get a job. Like, nobody wanted to employ me. It was probably my stupid accent. But eventually I did get a job for the NHS doing kind of communications and stuff, kind of writing. And in the end, it was like doing graphic design, which I'd never done. And that's kind of how I got into the video stuff. I got talking to their video person, who was like, oh, we really need an editor. So that was my out. I just clung on to him and was like, let me make videos for you.
So you came back from New Zealand with a ridiculous accent and they were like, you'll be good for communications.
They didn't let me talk to anyone. They just know I had to write everything down. I don't know. I don't think I had a stupid accent, but then people still say it sometimes. But I think it's just
sounds like you probably did that. If people still bring it up this
4 years later, like, oh, yeah. I thought. But I think people just like to say, oh, I thought I could hear a twang, and I'm like, rubbish, you can't. But I don't know.
You didn't just land in videos as well. You did it. You like me as well, which is another similarity that we uncovered. We both did media degrees.
Yeah, that's right. I did.
As you're lying and you're fucking mental, single white female.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, same, Jeff. And I just go and research everything you say. I'm like, no. Oh, yes, those are my values too. No,
I had heart surgery too at 7 years old. What are the chances? I'm pretty sure you did do that because I quizzed you when you said it. And turns out to be accurate.
That's good. Yeah. Did and I always loved doing creative stuff and making videos, but the reason that I didn't kind of go into that immediately after I graduated was I moved to London and I became a runner in a studio, which was
I used to want to be a runner.
Well, yeah, I mean, I did for ages until I actually got the job and I was like, oh, this is not the right job for
terrible
me.
Yeah,
I mean, aside from I've got some like horror stories of people being like, I need you to go out and get me sanitary towels. And then I came back and she was like, I need the heavy ones.
Like, heavy flow, heavy flow, Sarah.
I'm sorry. How urgent is it? Like, yeah. So it just, I kind of had a bit of a mini breakdown when I was like, that was my plan. Move to London, get a job as a runner, you know, kind of work my way up. And then I realized like, this is not my personality type at all. Kind of do that sort of networky type thing, and you know, you kind of have to be really forthright with like, oh, I want to get in on this and show me how to do that, like. And I was just literally fetching people sandwiches and working sort of 12-hour days, and they were paying me 10 grand, which I'm like, how do you think I'm paying rent in London on 10 grand? It was ludicrous. So yeah.
And how fulfilling is it to get sandwiches and sanitary towels every day?
Not massively. So I kind of just was like, no, I can't do this anymore. And I took a year off, like I didn't have a breakdown. And yeah, I just was so lost. I had no idea what to do. So in the end, I decided that I'd be much happier in the sunshine. So I kind of persuaded my girlfriend at the time to move to Australia. And turns out weather doesn't make any difference. Person when you get there, which is a bit unfortunate, but it was all very dramatic actually. At the time I had a job, I was just in retail, and my manager was a right dick, and I remember he'd made me cry and I was just really not feeling it. We'd kind of already planned to move to Australia, but I just was like, do you know what, I can't do this anymore. So I just said, oh, I'm just going to take my lunch break. And I just walked out of the shop and I never went back. It's very, at that time I was like, there was no option. I couldn't do this anymore. So
yeah,
I just texted my girlfriend and was like, how about we just sell everything that we own now, get someone to like rent our room out until our lease is up and just go now. And she's like, yeah, all right then. So yeah, we left.
Rational, well-planned, methodical decision.
Yeah, very
love it.
measured. So that's kind of how I ended up in the Antipodes, just doing nothing related to media. But eventually it kind of came full circle and I realized that I wanted to do something creative. So that's why I came.
So, how did your drinking become like really problematic? Did you have sort of a one moment where you thought, oh my God, I can't keep doing this? Or like most people that I've ever spoken to, it's just it can go on for years and you can convince yourself this is fine, this is normal, everybody that I know drinks like this, or oh, it was a one-off, or it happened because of this good reason seemingly. How sort of did it get to a point for you where you thought, oh, okay, I need to just not have it in my life at all?
In many ways, it was gradual, and in many ways, it kind of happened all at once. I think part of me always knew that I didn't necessarily drink like everyone else did. It was more important to me. I drank more. I wanted to drink more. It was that urge and that need to do it. It just seemed to be stronger in me than it was in other people. But at the same time, I didn't necessarily see that as being that much of a problem because I always kind of, hung out with really, really boozy crowds, and it was just what we did. And being hungover all the time and being pissed all the time was just, it was okay. I mean, it wasn't, it was horrendous, but it just kind of seemed so normal and not an issue. And I think, I was thinking about this the other day. It kind of just crept up on me moving from just being like, oh, I'm always at the pub, to suddenly I was like drinking at home. And I think that kind of happened when I got back from New Zealand, where suddenly I was kind of having, a bottle of wine at home. And it was never just a glass of wine with dinner, like, because that's never how I drank. So I tried to convince myself that that's what it was.
But you
But
couldn't understand yourself because of your crazy accent.
yeah, exactly. Like, what is
I
this?
don't understand what you're saying.
Do you know what's really funny? I was just going to do a New Zealand accent, and I actually don't think I can do one. It's very odd. But
That
why has she been in India? Like, what's going on? Like, it's kind of like Australian, but just nicer. Because oh, anyway, yeah. So I kind of, I mean, obviously, I could see in my recycling that there was quite a lot of wine
Just, I
bottles.
could hear in your brain then you were like, abort, abort this joke. Don't insult Australian people.
One of my best friends is Australian. I can
Mine
say
is,
that.
for some reason, the book that I've just published, the Off the Rocks Journal, by the way.
I had no idea.
Yeah, the book that I've just published, loads of Australians want it. I've had so more emails from Australians than from anywhere in the world. Yeah, it's really strange. And I mentioned, why is it that I'm getting loads of inquiries from Australian people? And someone was like, because we know how to drink and need to know how to stop.
Yeah, they do drink a lot.
Yeah, so, and did you find with your, I'll let you carry on with your story then, because you were sort of in mid-flow, but did you find as well when you were really struggling with it that it was really bad for anxiety? Because I know 99.9% of people, and particularly women as well, say that they drank to try to manage anxiety, and after X amount of time realized it was the very thing that was causing it and making it so much worse. And for me, that was a huge problem with my drinking and what I tried to get away from, and then inadvertently caused it.
Massively, yeah. I mean, I don't think I realized at the time. I think I probably only really realized when I stopped, when suddenly my anxiety was a lot better. It was definitely one of the reasons that I always drank as much as I did was just, I was so shy, like, when I was younger. And yeah, just being a massive introvert, struggling with kind of social situations and feeling socially anxious and all of that kind of stuff. And then I just have, three drinks and be a right tit. But I'd rather be a right tit than, kind of struggling the way that I was. So, and I think, when I started drinking by myself, it was kind of part of that struggling with having a 9-to-5 job and just generally, like, it's not like, oh, I've had a really stressful day. It was just the kind of structure of my day was inherently not right for me and just made me really stressed and anxious and kind of on edge. So yeah, I
And
sort of
trying to like fit yourself into a mold and a lifestyle that just doesn't suit you,
yeah.
trying to be a sort the sort of person that you needed to be to do that sort of media job that you were going after, and trying to live a certain way that just inherently isn't suited to your personality type. Like I did that too, and also the other thing with me, and I don't know if you found this in your media career, those sorts of jobs are so centered around drinking as well. Every single like there was I don't think there was really a week or a fortnight that would go by in I worked in an office with like doing journalism and PR, and I worked in a radio station being a radio presenter. All of those jobs were so boozy. We would always be having like office parties or networking events or celebrations to go to or an award show to go to. It was all like you couldn't really escape it. It was really awash with booze.
I think you might be thinking that my media career was a bit more glamorous than it was. There was
Oh, yeah,
no
we were
award
just in
shows.
Tesco's getting sanitary towels. What am I thinking?
Actually, no, there was when I was a production runner, on a Friday they used to give me the card for like one of the supermarkets nearby in Soho, and basically I had license to buy as much booze as you can carry. So I was like, right, I was loaded up like a pack horse, like walking through Soho with like all these beers and
You're
wine.
like, they should not have given me this task.
No. So yeah, like every Friday we like go up on the roof, and just I was always the last one there. Like, I mean, probably because I think I had to clean up actually after everyone had left. But I'd have been the last one there anyway. And yeah, I've even in jobs where there hasn't been like a particular sort of boozy culture, I've started one.
Yeah.
I've been the one who's been like, oh, let's have beers, because I'm like, this is how I connect with people, this is
Yeah.
how I kind of, and the sad thing was is that I that was kind of how I connected with people, but it's just there are other ways. It's just you kind of don't think of that in a sort of work scenario. I'm not gonna be like, should we go for a walk in the park to my
I
manager,
know, yeah.
it just doesn't, it didn't really fit. So
And it is the way that most people, whether they have a drink problem or a drink dependency, or they acknowledge that they do or they don't, it is still the way that most people operate, and that's just the way that it still kind of is mainly. So it is obviously all around you. Even at Christmas time as well, I couldn't believe, because I'm not really much of a shopping fan. Like I like it if I've got something specific that I want to go and get, or for certain types of things, or if the situation is right. But I'm definitely not the sort of person, and never have been, that sort of can't wait to get to the shops on
that's
a
because it's
Saturday.
disgusting, Jen.
Yeah,
It's
it's just
horrible. I don't understand. I'm like, Amazon exists. Why are we
yeah.
still walking around the shops?
But you realize though that people actually love doing it,
Yeah, no, some people do.
and they do it every single week. Like it's shocking. I know,
Just no
but
way.
people actually love shopping. Like literally nothing to go for. They just like going in and out of shops and trying clothes on and buying things they don't need. Like I don't get it. Like it's so foreign to me. I
Same.
really dislike it mainly. But what was that point then? What
I
did
don't know.
I
I switched off about 5 minutes ago. Something
What
about
was that?
shopping. No. Oh no, I think you were going to say that, like all the kind of Prosecco placards
Yes,
and
yeah, that was
things.
it. Thank you. Yeah, so I was in a shop. I think my mom had to go and get something when I was with her, and I was walking around one of your sort of, high street brand names with homeware things in it. I couldn't believe the amount of sloganed, and I know it's been a thing for a while, but I haven't actually seen so much of it in one place. But it was like Prosecco because life's too short, like slogans on bags, and a mug that said rosé all day, and just absolute shite on everything that was all basically the message. Oh, one pub had a blackboard outside saying a brunch without alcohol is just the late sad meal, and
God,
yeah, pretty
I mean,
depressing.
that's a
But
bit much.
basically, it was like when you step out of that sort of world of just drinking and sort of drinking culture, which loads of people do, but like it's really taken off, hasn't it? Dry January, and there's loads of them throughout the year. Sober October and Dry July and Sober Spring, there's absolutely loads of them. But loads of people do tend to do Dry January because it's obviously directly after Christmas and New Year, which are traditionally quite boozy times of year for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you do notice it when you turn your back on it, whether it's for a month or 6 months or a year or indefinitely.
Oh, but yeah, I'm so hyper-vigilant to it now. It's
so
horrible.
Hideous. The message is basically you cannot cope with normal life unless you're on this drug, condoning and this pushing of this message that it's okay to do that, to be so reliant on this socially accepted drug. And it's just not. It's not funny at all. It's obviously not. When you really look at the statistics about how many people are addicted and sort of know that they are and try to do something about it. And I've known loads of people, you probably have too, that have ended up dead because of it. My uncle died from alcohol poisoning. He couldn't get a grip on his problem. And it's just not funny. It's not funny to kind of make light of that sort of thing, because although some people can take or leave it, I honestly struggle to think.
I don't know anyone. I don't think that can actually.
Yeah, I honestly struggle to think of somebody that I know or have ever known through my life that legitimately doesn't have a reliance on it. Whether that is just literally they couldn't imagine going to a party and for there not to be booze there, like they would feel highly, highly uncomfortable in that situation.
Mm.
Even that is an over reliance on it. That's problematic,
yeah.
Because you're relying on something outside of yourself to just be in a situation with other people, and that alone is not right. It shows that you're not coping with basic functioning as a person.
Mm.
But yeah, I couldn't believe it. It was really quite shocking, and you don't really see it when you're in it, or you do maybe, but it just spurs you on to think, wow, you know, I might sometimes feel really shit and it might be ruining my life, and people might have pointed out to me that I drink too much, and I might feel horrendous with hangovers half of the time, and I can't seem to stop once I get started. But clearly everyone feels like that sometimes.
I think it's just for me, it was getting to the realization where I'm like, there's not actually anything good about this. Like, I, for so many years, I was like, this is helping with my anxiety. This helps me connect with people. This helps me, you know, get through things. And, you know, I never kind of framed it in a, oh, I'm really dependent and I'm really reliant. I just was like, you know what, I can kind of let all the bad stuff go about how awful I feel on a hangover day and how, you know, how much it affects my productivity and all of those things. I could let that slide because I'm like, because there is some inherent good in it. Like, I do need it to, you know, help with my anxiety. And when I realized that it was just making my anxiety so much worse, because, you know, all it was, you know, by the end when I was just so preoccupied with drinking that, you know, it's not that I was going out and having really, really wild nights and staying up till 6 a.m. or whatever. It wasn't that at all. Like, excuse me, it was a complete opposite, actually. I was pretty much just drinking by myself at home. But it was just like so looming, so big in my head that every night was like, am I going to drink tonight? No, I'm not going to drink tonight. And I just, this cycle of it going round and round and round. And then whenever I did drink, I'd kind of feel this massive, like, you know, breathe out. And I'm sorry if that sounded a bit creepy, that big sigh when you can't see me, just like,
I'm used to it already with you.
Then it was, all that was kind of a release from the thinking about it. I'm like, well, it's in my hand now. I'm drinking, well, it's in my mouth, but I'm drinking it. I don't have to think about it more. So then I felt really, really relaxed.
Yeah, that's so well explained, because that's basically the crux of any compulsion, isn't it? It's not really that it's doing anything good in your life. It's when you have that fix, whatever it is, it's the relief from the craving of it.
Totally.
That's all that it actually in the end does for you. And that, yeah, that feeling is horrible. And it's the same with anything. Like, any addiction is just a part of the human condition. And that's why I started my website initially. It's not obviously just about sobriety or alcohol. It's about any behavior, any substance, anything that you feel like you can't live without, that's actually more of a destructive thing in your life than it's not. There's a way to release yourself from that. There is, even though I know from personal experience, it can feel absolutely hopeless. Like the you probably had times, I guess, where you just felt I can never ever imagine a life without alcohol in it.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, like that, I never, it didn't even cross my mind that I would ever stop drinking. I just, all I was thinking was like, I just need to try and get a handle on it during the week, or I just need to get a handle on it drinking by myself. And, you know, I was like, I can claw my way back to it not being such a destructive thing in my
Yeah.
life. And it's just that, you know, there was, that's all I could really hope for, because I just knew it was. And I think what really sort of surprised me in the end was when I sort of realized, like, this is, and kind of put words around it, like, this is an addiction, this is you know, this is dependence, reliance, whatever. I actually felt really relieved, because I was sort of like, oh, okay, well, that means that, you know, I'm not in control of it, I don't have power over it, and that's kind of okay. I need to approach it from that angle rather than like, God, I wish my willpower was just a bit better. You know, I could kind of be a bit kinder to myself, because I would never judge anyone else who, you know, if someone came to me and said, you know, I feel like I'm drinking dependently and I'm really reliant on it and it's worrying me, like, I would have nothing but compassion for them. So when I kind of realized that about myself, there was, yeah, there was definitely a relief, and it did sort of make things a bit clearer after that, that, you know, I was like, oh, I know that I need to stop now. And when I did, I mean, it has been hard. Like, I'm not saying it's been easy at all. It hasn't, but it's definitely, that realization, it's definitely made it a lot easier.
Yeah, did you find that your kind of reliance on alcohol crossed over to anything else in your life now that you sort of look back and think, oh, okay, that, because I definitely did that, and I know that's a really common thing that you kind of have cross addictions, or you'll put one thing down and another thing will pop up in its place, or you look back and you think, oh, I was like that with in that relationship or with that substance, or
Yeah,
you know.
I think, I mean, just like really sort of kind of minor ones. Like, initially, I definitely had this massive sugar craving that I just never had before. Like, and suddenly I was just like, oh, I just want sweets. And I like, actually pretty much gave up sugar like a while ago. And so I kind of, that had never, you know, I hadn't felt like that for ages. So that was quite kind of intense. And other things like buying things, shopping, like I kind of felt like I needed that like reward. But to some extent, I mean, I didn't have enough money for that to go too out of control, to be honest.
I'm going to go wild in
Just like,
Poundland
oh, I'm
today.
going to buy a coffee, you know? But it did, to some extent, I kind of allowed myself that, because I was like, you know what? Like, you know, you're not spending all this money on booze, which I've said to you before, and to anyone who's asked me, when they're like, oh, you must have so much more money now. I'm like, I was buying budget wine from Tesco Express. Like, I was not kind of drinking
Was not a
like
connoisseur.
grape
Let's get that
juice.
straight.
So yeah, I did kind of have this money. So I did buy myself some nice things, and it felt really good to have something like tangible to show for it, and to kind of reward myself for not drinking and for getting through it. And things like, you know, I kind of wanted to, I didn't want to just transfer the need for an alcoholic drink onto a different drink, but at the same time, I didn't want to just sit there with a glass of warm water like feeling sorry for myself. So like, I bought a, you know, I bought a really fancy coffee machine so that I could like every morning have some really, really nice coffee, decaf, obviously, as we've discussed, because caffeine, not good.
Yeah.
So I definitely didn't transfer to caffeine, because I'd probably be dead by now. If I was drinking like as much caffeine as I was alcohol, I would just have killed someone or myself.
We're going
So
to have to
yeah.
talk about that one another time, because the more I've sort of been, because I didn't even think that was a thing. I thought I was just a complete freak that whenever I had an actual coffee, I just went loopy. Like, I just couldn't tolerate the caffeine in my body. And when I started meant just casually mentioning it, loads of people are like that, absolutely loads. And then I did some research into it, and it's a thing. Like,
It's a thing.
it really is. And then obviously you're exactly the same. Like, I just, my body, apparently it's something to do with the receptors. Like, they will attach to receptors in your body, and if you're really sensitive to caffeine, then they will have a huge impact very, very quickly. And I definitely do, whereas I know loads of people that can have 6, 8 cups of strong coffee in a day, and it won't really have much effect on them.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's
Because obviously
crazy.
alcohol kind of affects everyone sort of in the same way. But yeah, to watch people just like knocking coffee back, I'm like, how are you doing
Hey,
that?
it's
No,
mad.
I
Yeah.
couldn't.
So it's time in a few minutes to sort of wrap it up, but I just wanted to know, because the other thing that's really I found really interesting about you is that you're a trainee therapist, which is awesome. But we discussed this the other day because I was saying, didn't you kind of get to the point where you were just really finding it difficult to stop drinking once you sort of knew my life would be better without it? And you kind of said, obviously it's challenging and you have to get used to new habits and all of that, but you didn't really have a terrible, terrible time actually stopping it once you came to the decision and you actually just
No.
made the choice to just stop and keep every day just stopping. And you're not in 12-step programs. You haven't
No.
actually had any kind of additional, like traditional stop drinking help.
No.
And I just think that's so interesting because everyone's story is different. Everyone's experiences are valid. It goes to prove yet again the thing that we already really already know, that there is no one way, there's no right way of doing things. But it's brilliant because you basically explained it to me that you put all the work in, kind of realizing some of it and not quite realizing until after you'd done it, but you'd made all these changes for the better and ordered things in your life and as you said earlier, realized loads of things about yourself that you needed to have a certain type of job and needed to live a certain type of way and you realized what your own boundaries and limits were and you'd already started doing that before you'd even got to the point where you thought, I know I need to stop drinking. It was like the very last thing that you did. So for you, it's kind of gone really smoothly. Whereas for a lot of people, I almost feel like they desperately try because they desperately need to stop drinking. And so it's so hard because it feels like a deprivation. When it's really not like and people kind of generally come around that in unfortunately like the long way around when you realize, oh my God, when you actually get used to long stretches of sobriety, you see it so clearly in the end, if you've done the work on yourself and if you've put yourself in the right situations for you, because there's no one right way. For me, it was really different to I got sober the first time in a bar environment when I owned a bar, and that's obviously not usual.
That is it not? That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I went into AA. I don't do AA anymore, as I've sort of spoken about. And I do have a lot of love for AA, but it wasn't quite for me. And whatever, we'll do a whole podcast on that because that would be interesting to get your opinion because you're not familiar with it really.
No.
But yeah, I went to my first AA meeting because that was just the thing that I thought, well, that's what you do if you need help with stopping drinking, you go to AA. That's the only thing that it's the most famous way of doing it. So I went to my first meeting as I was in talks with changing my entire career, breaking up from a relationship, and going into business with somebody to co-own and renovate a bar. Yeah, and that's when I, after a few, a bit of trial and error at that point, I managed to be sober whilst I was running a bar, ordering the booze, serving the booze on occasion, cleaning it up, watching people get hammered all around me, promoting it. And it didn't bother me at all. Didn't bother me at all in the end. And obviously that's not usual, but it for me it was so I'm so glad for that experience. And it was like a year when the bar was actually open and running and being successful that I ran it, like co-ran it with somebody. And yeah, it was not your average way of going about it, but it was so eye-opening. And you do realize that I consider it now a really fortunate turn of events in my life that I had that struggle with it for a while and that I came to the position that I'm in now, which is one where I genuinely believe that it's the superior lifestyle choice. If somebody, for whatever reason, whether they kind of feel like they don't have a choice or they absolutely do, I think it's the cooler, stronger way to be. I really do. I think
Definitely.
it's not for the faint-hearted to go through life without relying on props, whatever they are. And that's basically what it is when you do that. So I think it's so interesting, your story, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know you and chatting more to you about everything.
Yeah, I think just like you say, I mean, everyone's story is different and everyone's circumstances are different. But I do feel like, I mean, a lot of the kind of sober literature that I've read, the kind of general pathway, I guess, is yeah, the drinking was terrible, and then eventually I stopped the drinking. I did all this work on myself, and now this is where I am. Whereas I do feel like in many ways I did do it kind of back to front, not purposefully. I just wanting to be a therapist and kind of struggling with anxiety and depression and stuff, as I have in the past. I just had a shitload of therapy. I kind of ha for my training, I have to look at myself. I have to be self-aware. I have to understand just who I am, what my personality is, how I respond to things, just everything. Like, that's kind of what the training is. And I did all that, and I never properly looked at my drinking. Like, there were times when I was like, I feel like this is a problem. I wish I didn't do this, but it never occurred to me to stop.
It
It
doesn't
was
though, does
just,
it? It
no, I
doesn't
was
to
just like,
most people.
wow, if only I could get a handle on that, if only if it wasn't a thing. And then eventually, I kind of did have a few little mini rock bottoms where I was like, this is not good. There was one when, and it was always just me kind of just drinking way too much by myself at home, and then the next day being like, why on earth was I doing that? Like, I don't even have the excuse of, oh, I was really stressed, or I was really depressed, or whatever. I wasn't. Like, I was just sitting at home getting wasted. And then I wake up the next day, and I remember this one day, like, audibly being like, you're a monster, like saying it out loud to myself and being like, I am training to be a therapist. I need to be kind to people, and I'm telling myself I can't even be kind to myself. Like, this is not right. And that's kind of it. Did eventually kind of something flicked, and I read Alan Carr's book was the first book that I read.
I read that, so good, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, I kind of read it and was like, I feel I started to read it being like, I want to stop drinking by myself. And then when I read it, I'm like, oh no, I just need to stop drinking. And then I realized that something changed then. And it was scary, and there was still a whole load of stuff to kind of work through. But yeah, that was kind of my story, which is, but then once I'd kind of worked through that, I'm not saying that I'm fixed and that I'm perfect and that it's never hard, but yeah, it has been a relatively short amount of time. But I
You
do
feel
feel,
fine, you feel good though,
yeah,
don't you? You
I
don't,
do,
for
I
you, it's
do.
not a tremendous struggle. And I just think
No.
that's a good message too, because yeah, the Alan Carr book is, in case anyone wants to read it's called The Easy Way to Stop Drinking, is it? Or to Control Drinking.
Control your drinking. He kind
Yeah.
of tricks you, because you're kind of like, oh, I'll read this and I'll be able to control it. I'll
Yeah.
be able to moderate it. And then at the last chapter, he's like, by the way, you can't do that. And you're like,
Yeah.
oh,
Yeah.
okay.
No, there's no easy way to control drinking for anybody, really. Because it's a mind-altering drug. Like, it once you start having it, you're not in your right frame of mind anymore. Nobody is. But yeah, to wrap up though, what you just said about it just didn't occur to me to stop drinking, that is so true of most people though. It's so, our society is so alcohol centric that it just doesn't occur to most people, unless they do have what they would term a rock bottom, which is so fucked up. Like,
Yeah.
you don't have to drink, you don't need to drink. I love the American lady Laura McCowan. She's great on Instagram. If you don't follow her, I'd definitely recommend it, because she's got a great story and she's so brilliant with words. But I remember she wrote this thing that just stopped me in my tracks. I think I reposted it recently, and it was something along the lines of, people tend to ask themselves, is this situation bad enough for me to stop? And
Yeah,
that's
I
the
saw
wrong
that, yeah.
question. You should be asking yourself, is this good enough for it to stay the same? And
Yeah,
it's so true, isn't it? Like,
totally.
the way most people cling on to, I can't not drink. Like, it's such an alien concept that so many people would be so much happier, more productive, healthier by far, obviously, because it's a neurotoxin. It's not good for you, not really in any quantity. Even if you can manage to have a couple of drinks once a month, it still is not going to be doing you any favors. But most people just don't consider what their life would really be like without it long term. And that in itself is something that I would love for people to start considering. And also the flip side to that is, don't assume that people don't drink because they just can't, or because, don't get me started on the whole, are you an alcoholic thing? I don't believe in that term. I think it's insane to just think there are people that can handle it and people that can't. It's a spectrum, and we're all we're all addicted to it to some level. If you drink at all, you're putting yourself on that scale. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, my darling.
Hasn't
And
it? Sarah is my name, just in case you forget. No H.
well, have you enjoyed it?
I have, yeah, it's been really nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm hoping that we can do a few more podcasts at the very least together. And if anybody wants us to cover any specific topics, and if you've liked this, do get in touch. And you can find, do you want to give your handle out on Instagram, or you can find Sarah through me if you want to. But send me an email to the Off the Rock email address, which is on my website, if you want to get in touch with either of us and ask us any questions, or you want us to cover anything, and I'm sure that we can sort that out. In the meantime, thanks so much for joining me on the
Thank you
Off
for
the Rock
having me.
podcast, and I'll speak to you in a second when I stop recording. All right, darling. Bye.
Bye. Is a map of the world, is a map of the world. You can see she's a beautiful girl, she's a beautiful girl. And everything around her is a silver pool of light. People who surround her feel the benefit of it, it makes you count. She'll hold you captivated.
Yeah.